This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We will be, inshallah, discussing the second chapter in this book, which is the book of Al-Jami', the collections. And it's called collections because it's collections of various topics. And this chapter is Babul Birri Was-Silah, the chapter of Al-Birr Was-Silah, and I will talk what that means, which is being good and being connected, good to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your parents, and be connected with them. And this chapter, فيه أربعة عشر حديثا, has 14 hadith, this chapter, and mainly focus on three topics. Talk about Silatul Arham, being connected with your kinship, then Birrul Walidain, talking about parents and their rights, and talking about Silatul Jari wal Ikhwani wal Ashab, is to be connected with your neighbors, with your friends, and members of society at large. And Imam Rahimahullah, he put this chapter after the previous one. The previous one speaking about al-huquq al-ammah lil-muslimin. He talking about the rights upon every Muslim, upon other Muslims at large. Yani, kull Muslim huwa akhun lil-muslim. Every Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. They say kull Muslim sadiq kull Muslim. But not every Muslim is a friend of other Muslim. We are friends. But if I go to Pearland Masjid, they're not my friends, they're my brothers. You know, if I go to Katie Masjid, they are my friends or my brothers, it depends. So brotherhood is a very big circle, but there's a smaller circle called friends. But also there is another smaller circle, which is very important than just that every Muslim connected to every Muslim. It's called Dhawil Arham, my kinship, my relatives. That's a smaller circle. Then there is another circle, which is the smallest one of them all, which is my family, my parents, and my family member. Okay, like my father, my mother, and your children. So Imam Rahimahullah started with the big circle, Haqq al-Muslim al-Am, upon every Muslim. That's why حق المسلم على المسلم sit, you know, if he sneezes and say alhamdulillah, say arhamuk Allah, when you meet him, give him salam. That's for everybody. Now he's going to talk about these smaller circles and the rights of those people. طيب كده off the bat, كل الحقوق التي تعطى للمسلمين عامة يجب أن تعطى لهذه الدوائر الصغيرة لهؤلاء الأنواع من الناس. Every right that we give to the Muslim at large, we must give it to the parents, we must give it to the relatives, we must give it to the friends and the neighbors. Okay? So if it is wajib to say wa alaykum assalam to a stranger, it became more wajib to say wa alaykum assalam to your parents, to your relatives, to your neighbors. If it is wajib to accept, or it is recommended to accept the invitation of a stranger to wedding, it is highly more recommended to accept the invitation of your cousins, your daughter, your mother. That's right. The invitation of your mother's wedding. She's a widow and she married again. She's a divorce and she married again. So in this case, it is more right over you to your father and so forth. And this is very smart way of putting the order of the book. So he started with the rules that apply to the general public, all Muslims, and even some non-Muslim as well. Then now he goes to the smaller circle, the rules that apply to the rights of friends and neighbors, then relatives, then family members, smaller, smaller, circle. Al-Birr, Bab al-Birr was-Sila. He said Al-Birr was-Sila. Al-Birr with Kasra, Al-Birr with the Kasra. It means doing what is good. Okay? And also it means doing what is required. في الطاعة. And it means also al-fadl, to be al-fadl, it means to give and to support. And I do believe that al-fadl, which is giving and charity, it's one form of being good. Good is a very general term, and one of it is to be able financially to support. So barra, يعني it means benefited others, done good to others. Okay? Or also it could mean you do good for yourself, both ways. We have something called يَبُرُّ يَمِينُهُ. يعني إيش يَبُرُّ يَمِينُهُ? When I said, وَاللَّهِ you will come with me tonight. بَرُّ الْيَمِينُ is to go with him. Which it, يعني تُصَدِّقُ يَمِينَ. It means you make his statement truthful. His statement is, you come to my house tonight. So you make it truthful by going to his house. So it is al-birr has to do with what? With the word sidq, which is truthfulness. Why? Because al-birr, it means you do something sincerely. You're truthful about doing what is good. That's why al-birr in al-hajj, al-birr al-walidain, صح? قال الحج المبرور. All this, it means you do good, but you do it out of complete what? Sincerity. You're truthful about it. And one of the words that you're familiar with, al-birr, means faith. ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق ولكن البر من آمن بالله. Al-birr is to believe in Allah and the angels. Why? Because birr, it means faithfulness. It means truthfulness, sorry. To be truthful. So this is all the iman has to come from the heart, truthfully. That's why we call it birr. And al-barr, which is one of Allah's name, al-barrur rahim, it means the one al-mutawassi'u fil khayrat, the one who gives all kind of goodness. So one of Allah's name, al-barr, which it means the one who gave all kind of good things. He gives a lot of good, okay? So he said al-birr, so this is a chapter of al-birr, which it means يعني, you are good to your relatives, good to your parents, you are truthful about it, you're sincere about it, you do all kind of goodness to them. Wassilah, as-silah ka'idah in Arabic language, which is the opposite of cutting somebody off. Here, ضد الهجران والقطيعة. So الصلة, it means I'm connected with someone. It's the opposite of disconnecting. So الصلة, it means you are connected to your kinship, connected with your kinship, with your parents, with your friends, with your neighbors. So there is a connection between you and them. And that connections, you add it with the word birr, so it means my connection with them lead to doing good. So babul birri was-sila. So I'm connected with my parents and I do good to them. Because you can be connected to them and ruin their life. You know? I'm connected to my neighbor. Oh my God, I'm there all the time. They hear me all the time. That's not good. You know, you're like ruining their day and night. So the silah always related to yani. That's why we connected with the word al-birr. It means I'm connected to them. I reach out to them. I keep in touch with them in good terms, and in this relationship lead to what is good. So today, inshallah, we're starting with the first hadith. If Dr. Abdullah wants to start, or anyone. No, turn it on.
Okay. باب البر والصلة. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحب أن يبسط له في رزقه وأن ينسأ له في أثره فليصل رحمه. أخرجه البخاري.
أبو هريرة English.
Next one is okay. Narrated Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who wishes to have his provisions expanded and his term of life prolonged must treat his relatives well." Reported by Al-Bukhari.
It's kind of strange he's saying reported by Al-Bukhari, because this hadith actually in Sahih Muslim. And it's even more strange that this wording is the wording of Muslim, not the wording of Al-Bukhari. يعني البخاري رحمه الله, his wording, من أحب أن يبسط, whoever loved, in البخاري, من سر أن يبسط, whoever سر, أحب, love, سر, يعني he wants to, who wishes or would like to, it's close to each other, but the wording in البخاري is not أحب, is من سر. And يبسط عليه في رزقه, also this is Muslim. In al-Bukhari, يبسط له في رزقه. So there's a quite differences. But again, one of the things that we keep in mind, that the copies of these books over the centuries and the time, they're not the same. So there might be another copy from Sahih al-Bukhari has this exact wording, and that's what al-Imam Ibn Hajar had. Yani Al-Bukhari's book is estimated 100,000 copy was made of after Al-Bukhari's death. 100,000 copy. So some of these copies sometimes can be, there is differences in some of the words, it doesn't make really a big change. But anyway, so this hadith is in Al-Bukhari wa Muslim. And this is came in Hadith Muslim min tariq Anas radiyallahu anhu wa ardah, not from Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu wa ardah. He said, "Yubsatu, whoever wishes or love to have his provision or earnings increased or grow, yubsat. This is the word increase or grow. Yubsat. Al-bast." Okay, means bastatan fil jismi wal ilm. يعني ايش البسط؟ الكثرة. Get not increase, whoever wants to have a lot of rizq, a lot of provision. Not a lot only in quantities, keep in mind, but also a lot in what? In blessing and barakah, and what? A lot on the resources. يعني one of the meaning of this يبسط, it means يعني يوسع له. So ليس فقط هو يأخذ, it means he get a lot of money from one source. It could means also have so many resources for risk. So instead of you making money from this source, you can have money from many sources, and many of these sources you didn't even thought about it or know about it, or thought it will be a door that it will open for you, who knows? And subhanAllah, يعني, and that's very true. I know a brother here in Houston has a land in I-10. So this brother came to me, and he had a tough time in certain things in his life. And I advise him to increase the istighfar, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, and to be good to his family, his parents, his brother. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, will open the rizq for you. He came to me after a year and a half, same brother, and said, "Sheikh, I just want to tell you what happened to me." I said, "What happened to you?" He said, "You know, I-10, we have construction on I-10. I-10 and I-45 never end, endless amount of constructions. So he said, a company came to me and told me that they have a lot of dirt and they would like to put it in your land. You have a big land, and we put a mountain of dirt in your land. We will guarantee it's not contaminated for 99 years. We'll give you a guarantee on that. We'll give you $500,000. He said, yeah, sure. I have like 30 acres. I don't know what to do with it. Could even pay the tax for it. So they came and they put it for $500,000 in his land. While they're doing this, a developer came to him in the neighborhood in Katy. And he said, I'm a developer and I need dirt, because I have to raise the land that I'm developing. Would you sell the dirt for me? He said, yeah. He said, wallahi, Sheikh Waleed, the same truck, I made a deal with the same company who delivered the trucks from the I-10 to come to bring the dirt. It goes from this door and exits from that door. I made $500,000 this way, then I made a $750,000 this way out. So $1.25 million. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open abwab for rizq, you don't know where it comes. It can come from I-10. You don't know where it's going to come from. You know, it's just amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can open doors for your provision. So, yubsat lah, as-sa'ah, it gives you al-basat, means wide range of source. And also a lot, quantity-wise. And barakah. So all this, the word bust carries. So it's not fair just for me to pass this word, the English translation, without telling you what's this word in Arabic. It's loaded with meanings. قال يبسط له في رزقه. And that's another word that is so loaded as well. It's not like the way translated. A rizq translated what? Provision. Or like earning. A rizq. In Arabic language, what it means, هو اسم لكل ما ينفع. الرزق in Arabic language, it is referring to anything that can benefit you. It's called rizq. So knowledge is what? Rizq. Money is what? Rizq. Children is what? Rizq. Benefit you, I hope so. Okay? The marriage is what? Rizq. You see? So rizq is of good manners is what? Food and water is what? Because it benefits your body, nurture your body. Okay. Home is what? Rizq. That's right. And الرزق العلماء رحمهم الله said رزقان. The provisions and the earning is two. رزق للأبدان ورزق للأرواح. A rizq, a provision that benefits the body, and there is a rizq that benefits the soul. Like iman, tawbah, contemplation. That's why it's a rizq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for some people, that they have this understanding of the religion, that they have this soft heart. It's a rizq from Allah. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَسَمَ الْأَخْلَاقَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ كَمَا قَسَمَ بَيْنَهُمُ الْأَمْوَالِ. Allah divided manners among people the same way He divided money. Some people have more money, some people have more manners, more sabr than others. Some people have more shukr than others, grateful than others. Some people are more wiser than others, and so forth. So this is something also keep in mind, the word yurzaq. So listen to what the Prophet said. قَالَ مَنْ أَحَبْ, whoever wishes with love for his rizq, all these meanings, yubsat. Can you imagine? The sources of iman, the sources of money, the sources of akhlaq, the sources of any kind of provision comes from so many sources, resources, come with large quantities, and it will be blessed as well. يُبْسَطْ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ قَالْ وَيُنْسَأُ لَهُ فِي عَمْ. Who doesn't want that? Can you think of anybody who said, you know what, I don't want that. I don't want to be blessed in all these areas. No one. So here in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi getting us excited. And if you noticed, yunsa, for his provision to be increased. What do we call that in English and in Arabic? In Arabic, we call it mabni lighayri al-ma'loom, mabni lighayri al-fa'il. طيب أو يسمونه مبني للمجهول. In English we call it passive tense. It will be increased. Did not say who increasing it. Can anybody tell me what that entails? What that means? Why it came in a passive tense? ليش بنيت لغير المعلوم؟ قال يبسط له في رزقه. Huh? Because so many reasons for the risk. Sometimes it comes from A person, B, C, D, you know? And behind all this, Allah. But I did not mention exactly, because if you say, Allah will provide for it, Allah provide for everybody. But he made it passive tense. You don't know who is exactly the provider, because Allah will bring you so many providers for the risk. It give a very general term. تعني العموم والشمول. قال ينسى, the same thing, it will be increased. What will be increased? In ينسى يعني يؤخر. النسى هو التأخير. نسى, it means delay. If you read in the Quran, إنما النسيء زيادة في الكفر. Allah said in the Quran, إنما النسيء زيادة في الكفر. النسيء is increasing in kufr. Anybody knows al-Nasi? Al-Nasi, كانت قريش. قريش, what they used to do? Quraysh have something it called, like what we have as a Muslims, al-Ashhur al-Hurum, sacred months. 4 months, you're not allowed to fight. Rajab, one of them, okay? And Dhul Qi'dah, and Dhul Hijjah, and Muharram. So 4 months. This is not Hajj months. This is called Ashhur al-Hurum. These 4 months, you're not allowed to fight. The people of Mecca know that. The people of Mecca will see, the man will see the killer of his father and will not touch him. But sometimes Quraysh wants to fight. In the Qaeda, for example, or the Hijj. There's so much excitement and whatever reason, they want to fight. So what they do, they say, okay, this year we're going to push it down. So instead of the Qaeda, we start from the Hajj. Instead of Rajab, we push it to Sha'ban. So we can fight on Rajab. فَكَانُوا يُؤَخِّرُونَهُ. And they said, we're going to push it and delay the sacred month 1 month later. So that's why called أَنَّسِيءُ زِيَادَتُمْ, because it means delaying. So أَنَّسِيءُ in Arabic means delaying. So if you want your time to be delayed, what's your time referring to? Death. If you want your death to be delayed, in another word, if you want to live longer, okay? يؤخر. أثره. أثره, he said, delay his athar. Athar means his life span or death, his death. Just I like always to comment the Arabic meaning. ليش سمي الموت والعمر أثر? Why we say al-athar, it means life or your lifespan. It's called athar or death. Could also mean athar. Can anybody think of the word athar? Have ever used this word athar? La, but what's the connection between athar and life? Athar, I give you a word. Al athar, طيب, it is the imprint on the ground. It's called athar. أثر الأقدام. Okay, أثار الأقدام, the footprints. That's right. The footprint, we call this athar. So what's the connection linguistically, you think? I'm talking from pure language. Yeah. If you did, you make an impact? No, you did. What makes impact is the thing that you do while you are alive or you did when you were alive. But after you die, you can't make any impact. What will make impact, things that you did before you die, and it's still working for you. But someone dead, never lived, if you can imagine hypothetically, someone never lived, will ever have athar, will ever have impact? No. So that's why we call it athar, has to do with life and death, is a very interesting word. Because athar, that means my life has to have an impact. That's why the Arab use the word athar to refer to life. Because anyone who's living, they have some footprint on this earth. And this footprint disappears by your death. So that's why linguistically the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used the word athar to refer to death. Is that clear? Mafhoom? La, even as simple as footprint. يعني أصله من لأنه الإنسان إذا مات لا حركة له. If you die there, you don't move. So you don't make any athar. You don't take breath. That's an impact. You produce carbon. You just completely خلاص. No impact. Anyway, فليصل. So how can you achieve these two? You delay your death. You live longer, and you increase all this risk. What? How? The answer came. فليصل رحمه. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بجواب الشرط. So the condition in order for you to get this, you يصل رحمه. And we said what's يصل means. It means to be الصلة, means to be connected. He should keep ties with his, or they keep tie with their kinship. يصل, okay, it means to keep ties, to be connected. And this is keeping the ties physically, visiting, talking. Also, spiritually, you're making dua for them, you pray for them, you wish them good, you love them, okay? Verbally, you know, talking to them. Financially, okay, serving them, that's a physical format of it. Helping them, aiding them. He said, all this, الصلة. So الصلة means to keep that tie, to be connected with them, either physically, verbally, financially, emotionally, emotional support, all these connections. That's what you call صلة. With his or her rahim, kinship. Ar-rahim comes from the womb of the woman, okay? And that to show you that you go, those who came basically and share this, if you go in lineage, they go back all the way up to share the same parents or the same mother. And here we don't mean your maternal relatives only, but paternal and maternal. أقارب من الأب وأقرع وأقاربه والأم وجهتها. And we'll talk more what exactly الرحم means technically that you have to be connected with. But for now, الرحم, it means هم الأصول والفروع. It means your father, your grandfather and up, and your children and grandchildren and down, your brothers and sisters and their children, whatever descent from their children. Then your uncles, okay? And from maternal part, paternal part, and their children's. That's the rahim, okay? So these are the one that this hadith talk about being connected to them. And we'll talk about how can you keep connected with this. My father has 16 brothers and sisters. Or 15 brothers and sisters. How would you can do that? Okay, so it's very hard.
So we will talk about that means the manifestation of it. Yes. It's coming. Yeah. Now we're just analyzing the words of the hadith. Then after that, we study the issues in the hadith or the lessons from the hadith. So what do we learn from this hadith? Number one, this hadith shows you that silatul rahim is one of the obligatory of Islam. And cutting ties with relatives and kinship is one of the kabair al-dhunub, one of the major sin in Islam. Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah said, اتفقت الملة. All the Muslim scholars agree that silatul rahim, keeping tie with your kinship, is wajib. And cutting ties is forbidden and haram. And the evidences are overwhelming. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ أَن تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fear Allah, the one that you, by his words, connected together with your kinship. Allah said, فَهَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ. When you turn around, tufsidu fil ard, you will spread corruption of in earth. طيب. And what? وتقطعوا أرحامكم. You cut ties with your kinship. أولئك, those who are doing this, bless Allah al-afiyah, those who are cutting ties with kinship with their relatives, those who are not in silah with their relatives, those who spread corruption on earth, أولئك عليهم لعنة الله أولئك الذين لعنهم الله فأصمهم وأعمى أبصارهم. Allah curse such people. The issue of caring for your relatives and your kinship is so clear in Islam. That's why when Hiraqal asked Abu Sufyan, what is Muhammad? What is Islam? What is he asking you guys to do? Listen to the first thing he said. He said he ordered us to salah and to give charity. Wal-afaf is to abstain from indecency. Was-sila, to keep good connection with relatives. So that's the message in the first few days in da'wah. When Ja'far ibn Abi Talib ibn Najashi told him, tell me what is Islam? What's the message of Muhammad? He said, he came to us and told us, and among the first 5-6 things he mentioned, to be good to our relatives. So this is something in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam started with, something so fundamental. Aisha radiallahu anha said that in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِنَّ الرَّحِمْ شُجْنَةٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَانِ. الرَّحِمْ, their name الرَّحِمْ, came from the word الرَّحْمَانِ. That's why it called this womb rahim. Allah said when he created the womb inside the mother, inside the female, he said, Allah said, مَنْ وَصَلَكِ وَصَلْتُهُ وَمَنْ قَطَعَكِ قَطَعْتُهُ. Anyone will be connected with his or their kinship, I will be connected to them. And anyone will cut them off, I will cut them off. Can you imagine Allah cut you off? There's no way for barakah, for blessing. And that's why one of the reasons we see no barakah anymore in many people's lives is because this has become by the day, by the way. This concept is more alien by the day. And I am 100%, I'm talking to now, and many of us, including myself, I look at my life and I said, oh my God, where am I from this? When was the last time I called my cousins? When was the last time I know about my, you know, my, especially in many culture, there is a lot of connection with your relatives from your father's side, but not from your mother's side, unfortunately. I want to share with you some of the ahadith that speak about the virtue of Suratul Rahim, beside what you just heard. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, whoever believe in Allah in the day of judgment must be connected with his kinship. فليصل رحمه في البخاري. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, and you heard the hadith, to increase your rizq and to widen your rizq and to live longer, you get to your relatives, Al-Bukhari Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Ar-Rahim, I will be connected to those who connect you, the kinship, and I will cut those who cut their kinship. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as Hadith Abi Ayyub al-Ansar radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, a man came to the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me something that will let me enter Jannah. Tell me something I do, it will lead me to Jannah. يُدْخِلْنِي الْجَنَّةِ قَلْ تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. You worship Allah and you do not associate other with Allah. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, to pray. وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ, you give zakah. What's next? وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمِ. طيب, you might ask, طيب, what about the rest of the pillars of Islam? Hajj and Psalm. It looks like this has happened in Mecca before these pillars were completed. That means Silatul Rahim, it is something in early time in Islam was so fundamental. Okay? And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he first started with this in Mecca, he started with this in Medina. Abdullah ibn Salam said, the first thing ever, the first public speech the Prophet ﷺ gave in Medina, the first public talk, what did he say? He said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, O people, أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ. يَقَالَ الله أَوَّلُ مَا سَمِعْتُمَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ حِنَ دَقْلَ الْمَدِينَةِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمِ. أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ, spread salam. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ, feed people. وَصِلُوا الْأَرْحَامِ, connect with your relatives. وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسِ نِيَامِ, pray in the night while people are sleeping. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامِ, you will enter Jannah in peace. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He praised the following people in Surah Al-Ra'd.
وَالَّذِينَ يَصِلُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَن يُوصَلُ وَيَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ وَيَخَافُونَ سُوءَ الْحِسَابِ.
Those who connect what Allah ordered them to connect to, which is the kinship, you know, to be, to keep, maintain the ties. So, and also maintaining this good ties with your relatives, it's one of the reasons for society to be filled with love, cooperation, looking after one another, helping one another. It is sad, wallahi, I know cases where a sister has 3-4 brothers, all of them have good incomes, and she's struggling for $50 and $100. Struggling for to pay the rent, while she has 3-4 brothers. It is hard to hear that, you know, parents, they don't have the support, the financial support of children. Cousins, if we spread that concept, we will find that the society will benefit a lot, because we're still looking after one another, and the society will improve. And also, if we keep that, maintain that relationship, what happens? The love will be spread among the community and society at large as well. You want to call that or not yet? Go ahead.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
So this is the first point in the hadith, the importance and the virtue of keeping ties with kinship. The second lesson we can learn from the hadith, or another point, it is permissible for you to love for your income to be increased. Where do we get this from? قَالَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ whoever wants and loves for his risk to be increased. So it means it's allowed. It's not a bad thing. It does not contradict zuhd. It does not contradict, you know, being attached to the akhirah. Even the Muslim would love to increase his risk. You know, there is an opportunity to earn more money. That's good. You should not be ashamed or feel bad about it or feel guilty about that. You know, you can increase your business and so forth. And there is a hadith which is جَاءَ مُعَلَّقْ فِي الْبُخَارِي قال الغني الشاكر مثل الفقير الصابر. The rich, grateful Muslim or person is equal to the poor, patient person. You see what I'm saying, Yusuf? So being rich or being poor will not determine your good or bad. Because what makes you good and bad in the eyes of Allah is not being rich or being poor. It is, what is your status when you are rich? Are you arrogant? So what makes you a bad person is not being rich, is being arrogant. Or you're grateful and thankful. Being poor doesn't make you a good person. It doesn't make you a person of virtue. But being poor but patient will make you a person of virtue. So what makes you a person of virtue is a sabr, being patient. Is that clear? طيب. Huh? أي معلق نعم. الغني الشاكر مثل الفقير الصابر. Also, this hadith shows you لا يوجد حرج أيضا, no harm, that the person tried to increase his lifespan, to live longer. So you take care of yourself. You basically, there are certain things under research that said, if you do this, you can live average 5 years longer, 3 years longer. Because that's basically what can keep you more healthy. You know, you care for the thing that it will help you to live long. And in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have shows us what can we do to increase our lifespan. That's right. In this hadith, he told you, if you want to live longer, you do that. And some ulama said, you can, even in dua, you can say, Ya Allah, let me live long. Some ulama said, live long, على طاعة الله. يعني, let me increase my life span and increase my ta'a, increase my iman and good deeds. Because you don't want to live longer and you do more sins. That'd be a problem. You want to live longer to make more good deeds. And Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, his mother brought him to the Prophet ﷺ when he was 10 years old. And his mother was a wise woman. She said, Ya Rasulullah, this is my son Anas. This is my gift to you. Everybody give you a gift, and I don't have money. So I'm giving you my son to be your servant. I want him to serve you. But she's smart. Why? Because she wants her son to what? To learn from the Prophet ﷺ. He's 10 years old. So he served the Prophet ﷺ and he learned from him a lot, and he became one of the most well-known scholars and narrator of hadith among the companions. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he welcomed him, She said, Ya Rasulullah, ud'u Allah lah. Ya Rasulullah, make dua for him. طيب إيش النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم made dua for him for what? قال أنس دعا لي بثلاثة رأيت منها اثنتين وإني أنتظر الثالثة. He prayed for three things for me. I saw already two of them and I'm waiting for the third one. What did he said? قال اللهم أكثر ماله. Ya Allah, increase his wealth. وولده وأطل عمره. Increase his wealth and his children and let him live long life. واغفر ذنبه and forgive all his sins. رواه البخاري. يقول أنس فأطال الله عمري حتى جاوزت المئة ما أدري كم. Anas said, I passed the 100 years a while ago. I don't know how many years now. But I passed the 100. طيب. واستحييت من أهلي. And I feel shy from my family. What do you mean by that? No. Huh? No. Anas, the older he gets, the younger he gets. Yani he's still sexually active. Even with this old age. So he said, I feel shame like an old man like this, but I'm still like sexually active. That's why Anas radiallahu anhu arda, he said, قال دفنت من صلبي بضع وعشرون ومئة من الولد. I buried over 100 of my children and grandchildren. هذا في البخاري. And definitely this is not from one wife. This is most likely حتى قال بعض وقال الدل على أن كان عنده إماء. The point is he has a lot of children and a lot of money. قال وأكثر الله مالي. Allah give me so much money that no one in Ansar has money match what I have. He said everyone in the Ansar, see how the risk comes from unexpected sources. He said everyone in the Ansar, their gardening, their field, تنتج مرة وبستاني ينتج مرتين. Everybody's field produce one time a year. Mine produce twice a year. And I double my sales. He said I became extremely rich. And one of the reasons, قال والله لا أحصي ولدي. I don't know how many children I have. So I saw everything except the third one yet. And I hope to see it in the Akhirah, that all my sins will be forgiven. So in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he prayed for him what? To live long life. And he didn't say, على طاعة الله, like some people put that condition. It's okay to say it's not a bad thing, but it's not a condition, yeah, and it's not a must. And by the way, this hadith, that being good to your, or to maintain ties with your relatives will increase your risk and will increase your lifespan. There is many other narration to support it. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, "Inna silat al-rahim mahabbatun fil ahl, mathratun fil mal, mansa'atun fil ajal." Keeping ties with your relatives will increase the love of your family, and it will increase your wealth, and it will delay your death. It will make you live longer. And Aisha radiallahu anha said في مسلم إمام أحمد, the previous one in الترمذي, this one in مسلم أحمد, she said صلة الرحم وحسن الجوار, being good to your relatives and good to your neighbors, يعمران الديار, will bring prosperity to the society, to the community, to the country, ويزيدان في الأعمار, it basically lead to for you to live longer. وفي أبي يعلى بإسناد فيه كلام مسلم أبي يعلى عن أنس رضي الله عنه أرضاه, إن الإسناد is not that authentic. الصدقة and صِلَةُ الرَّحِمِ, maintaining ties with the relatives, يَزِيدُ اللَّهُ بِهِمَا فِي الْعُمْرِ, Allah will let you live longer because of them. وَيَدْفَعُ بِهِمَا مِيتَةَ السُّوءِ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you die a horrible death. Okay? No horrible death. And Salman radiallahu anhu arda said that the Prophet said, لَا يَرُدُّ الْقَضَاءِ إِلَّا الدُّعَاءِ, the only thing can change what Allah ordained upon you is your dua. وَلَا يَزِيدُ فِي الْعُمْرِ إِلَّا الْبِرِّ, and nothing will change your lifespan except al-birr, being good to your relatives, good to your, obviously, parents comes first. قول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, حديث مرفوع في الترمذي. So here comes to the point that Brother Salman was saying earlier, which is, how can we reconcile between the concept that everyone, his or her lifespan and their life is already written, how long you will live. Actually, the moment you are in your mother womb, Allah tells the angel, write how long this person will live. It's already decided how long you will live and when you're gonna die. So how can we say that this is already decided, then you saying here in the hadith, that will increase your lifespan. Allah said in the Quran, فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ لَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ, when their time comes, they cannot delay it, nor they can die before their time. وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا, when your time comes, Allah will not delay that. In Surah Al-Munafiqun, العلماء رحمهم الله have different approach to reconcile between these evidence that you just heard earlier about maintaining ties and this evidence that's saying death is already appointed, your lifespan already decided, nothing will change in regard to this. To reconcile, العلماء have different approach. الاتجاه الأول, they said the ahadith that says your lifespan will be increased, you will live longer, they said it's metaphor. We cannot take it literally, يعني, literally you will live more years. They said there is, it's a kind of figurative speech. There is ta'wil for it. What is it? They said you live longer, it means Allah put barakah, a blessing in your time. So you will accomplish in 20 years what people will accomplish in 80 years. You will accomplish in 40 years what people accomplish in 50, 60 years. You will find some people, and Nawawi rahimahullah, die in his 40s. And Nawawi, that everybody quoting is Riyad al-Salihin, 40 Hadith al-Nawawi, he dies in his 40s. Ibn Taymiyyah in his early 60s. Many of those scholars, Ibn Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, die in his late 30s. 39 years old, 40. Umar, everybody hear about him. He changed the world economically and politically. Only at age of 40, he died. So some people live short life, but their impact is huge. They accomplish so much. So they said, that's what it means. يعني يبارك له في عمره. Allah put barakah, blessings in your life, as if you lived long life. Another said, no, you live longer, it means your impact will continue after your death for a long time as if you are alive. Your name will not be forgotten. Your ihsan and fadl will be remembered. Question. Do we mention the dead a lot? Choose any one of your family who passed away. How many times do you mention his name? Not much. But look, if any one of your relatives is still alive, their name comes up from here and there more often. I always talk about, I always mention my, you know, brothers. But I don't mention often my father's name because he passed away. The living one is the one who always his name comes up. That's right. But so if you die, your name kind of die with you. That's right. Occasionally, if you like lucky to be remembered. But the vast majority of people, when they die, their name die with them. Here, Allah, that some ulama said, no. This hadith, you will live longer, yani you will name, and the impact of your work will continue after your death. We mention Abu Huraira how many times every day? We mention al-Bukhari how many times? As if he's still alive. The fatwa of Sheikh Ibn Baz, as if he's still alive, because of the blessings of their work is still continued after their death, as if he's still alive, as if he's still contributing. You see? So we always talk about those who establish organization, those who establish a masjid, those who establish, Muhammad Ali, the famous boxer, Malcolm X. We still talk about as if he's still alive, because they made a great impact in society. You see? So here we say that this is, so some ulama said that what this hadith means. يُنسَأْ لَهُ فِي أَجَلِهِ يعني he will be delayed. يعني it means his name and his legacy will continue for a long time after their death. That's one. And the other way to look at this, which is the strongest, and in my opinion, it's a very solid way. They said, no, we don't need to say it's a figurative speech. We don't need to find ta'wil. We can say, no, Allah will increase your lifespan. Yes, you will live longer. And there is no contradiction between this and your death is appointed by Allah, that your death is known to Allah. How? They said, it's like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote exactly when you are going to die in the safe tablet before the creation of the heaven and the earth. Everything written in that book, which is called Al-Lawh Al-Mahfuz. But also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala written your lifespan in the angels' books, who upon your birth, written how long you're going to live. In the angels' books every year, they will write who will die this year. Okay? Every year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Laylatul Qadr tell the angel who will die this year. And it will be written in them. So in these books in the hand, can change. How? It changed because of a reason, a cause. So it was written in the angel's book that you will die in the age of 40. But because you are connected and good to your parents and to your relatives, Allah said to order the angel, no. At the age of 40, when they think he's going to die, he said, no, I will let it to 45, to 50. And that's exactly how it's written in the safe tablet. It's written in the safe tablet, when he born, it will be 40. But later on, it will be increased to 50. So nothing new, nothing surprised Allah. But Allah put it this way to show you the value of these deeds, the value of taking care of your relatives and being connected and looking after them. So, and that's how it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Allah confirm and erase. Ibn Abbas said, in confirmation and erasing and cancellation, it's in what is in the hand of the angels. وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. What's in Allah's hand, the book that with Allah, nothing change in it. That's why one of the things that you should understand in Al-Qadr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the predestiny, He put things conditionally. Like he would say, it is qadr. You will live that long if you do such and such. If you take this means, if you make dua, Allah will increase this. Allah will give you that. If you take care of your health and you start changing habits and this and this and that, you will live longer. Allah made this as a reason for you to live longer. But if you're not, you will die at this age. But all this known to Allah prior to that. That's why الأجل أجلان, as Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said. One that Allah only knows, which is all the changes that might happen in the future. And one that known to certain extent to the angels, but they might be surprised that things change than what they know about the future of the human being. And all this also to make a point that Allah is the only one know the future. Even the angel who wrote down what is happening to you, they don't know the details and what can change. I don't think I need to quote many scholars on this, but is there anything like this in the Quran or the Sunnah? Yes. Allah said in the Quran, in Surah Fatir, verse 11, وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِن مُعَمَّرٍ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمُرِهِ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. No one, we will increase their lifespan or decrease it unless it is written in a book. So that means your lifespan can be increased and decreased. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَاتَّقُوهُ وَأَطِيعُونَ. Nuh telling his people, يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ مِنْ ذُنُوبِكُمْ وَيُؤَخِّرْكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى إِنَّ أَجَلَ اللَّهِ إِذَا جَاءَ لَا يُؤَخَّرُ لَوْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. If you have, you worship Allah and you have taqwa and you obey me, Allah will forgive your sin. وَيُؤَخِّرْكُمْ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى. He delay your time to another time. Ibn Kathir said, يعني he delay your death. So no need for us to say, oh, we cannot take it literally, that Allah increase it. Why? In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in Sahih Bukhari, Musa alayhi salam, the angel of death came down to take his soul. Question. So that means the moment the angel of death came to take Musa's soul, that means his lifespan what? Expired, ended. That's right. But there is a rule, no prophet ever die without his consent. So he said, yeah, Musa, this is the time to come. But he came to him in a shape, not in the shape that Musa familiar with. He thought he's somebody acting or something like that. That's why he slapped him. Get out of here, you're not an angel. Well, he couldn't take that. He slapped him. Then the angel of death came up to Allah and said, Ya Rabbi, you sent me to someone who doesn't want to die. Then he said, go back to him and show him who you are. And tell him, Allah telling you how long you want to live. Make your hand wet, stick it to the back of a ball, and pull it out. See how many hair will stick in your hand, and that's how many extra years you will live. So Musa said to the angel, then what? They said, I will come to collect your soul. He said, there is no difference. Now from 4 or 5 years, the same. I will die. Then he died right before, and he said, Ya Rab, all what I wish, to just give me a chance to see the walls of Jerusalem. Because all his life want to go to Jerusalem. So he died right outside the walls of Jerusalem. مات عنها رمية حجر. No, he was there at that point. So this is literally Musa's time what? Expanded. That's right. Also, another hadith, Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, look at all the prophets from your children. And he saw one of them, said, this looks so nice and shiny. Who's this? He said, this is your son David, Dawood. Then he said, Ya Rab, how long he will live? 60 years. He said, Ya Rab, increase his life. He said, if I increase it, I take it from yours. He said, how long I will live? He said, 1,000 years. He said, I will give him 40 from mine. So that's already preordained how long he lives. And that's a change. And the hadith in Sunnah Abi Dawood, and it's authentic. Then he gave him 40. So when the 1,000, now how long Adam will live? 960. When 960 came, he said, no, I'm supposed to live 1,000. He said, but you gave a 40. He said, I forgot. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam laughed like you. And he said, نسي آدم فنسي ذريته. He forgot, and that's why his children forget. وعهدنا إلى آدم من قبل فنسي ولم نجد له عزما. And this hadith, al-Hakim said, it's according to the condition of Muslim. And al-Dhahabi agreed with that as well. And also said, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and Ibn Abbas. Also, in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua to Anas that Allah increase his life. Let him live long. So if it's already decided, why did the Prophet ask for that? And there is many, Ka'b al-Ahbar, when Umar about to die, he said, Wallahi, if Umar ask Allah now to live longer, he would live longer because Allah accepted his dua. Then they said to him, how? Allah said, when death comes, you cannot change the time of death. He said, no. He said, that's when he died. But before death, إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. That's easy for Allah to make that change. So my point is, this opinions of al-ulama that said you can take it literally, you don't need to make ta'wil to say it's legacy or to say this. There's no need for that. You can take it literally that you will literally live longer. And mainly the people who refuse to take it literally are people who have a problem in understanding al-qadr. Al-Qadariya or Al-Jabriya, they have a problem in understanding the concept of Qadr, that's why they couldn't comprehend this concept. In my opinion, Wallahu A'lam, that I don't see any problem with taking all two directions and all three opinions. So you will have blessed time, and you will have a legacy to continue, and you will be increased literally in your lifespan. What's wrong with that? More khair, more fadl, and there is nothing to stop us from accepting all these opinions, and they don't, it's not this or that. The question, I know someone was so good to his relatives and died in the age of 40. You guys just told me he will increase his lifespan. He died in his 20s, and mashallah, he was so nice to his family and to his relatives. He take care of his relatives. He died 21 years old. Where is this hadith? The hadith is ish nisbi. Increasing his lifespan is relevant. Relative. So maybe this one was supposed to die at the age of 18. And because of his good to his family, he died in 21. Maybe he was 30 and he was delayed to 40. Who knows? Yani you are as if you know when he's going to die. The hadith didn't say, die in old age. He said, his life will increase. Okay? Same thing if somebody tried to tell you, what about rizq? Wallahi, I know this guy. MashaAllah, he's so good to his family and he's broke. He doesn't have money. He's not rich. We say, who knows? Maybe if he did not have, he will have way less than what you have right now. And remember, a rizq is bigger than money also. طيب, this hadith also shows you another rule, good rule to be known. وهو جواز التشريك في النية بين الأجر الدنيوي والأخروي. You are allowed to, as when you do an act of worship, to have the intention for the worldly reward and the reward in the akhirah. Where do we get this from? Increase his provision and live longer. That's a worldly reward. But also you want asl min wasalaki. Allah's giving idkhul jannah. When those who are good to their relatives and kinship, they go to Jannah. That's right. So you want the akhirah and you want in the same time the dunya. So sometimes you want both. No contradiction. Call adhan and mashallah, he won the ajr from it. But you know what? He charged us like $10,000 a month just to give adhan. That's fine. Nice. I wish, as I'm saying. Wallahi, not not even a $10, jazallah khair. He is the one who gave us. So there is no harm to intend both. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُ رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. Make istighfar to Allah. He will forgive your sin. That has to do with the akhirah. What's next? يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. Give you children, give you wealth, give you rivers, give you beautiful houses. No contradiction. I can have both. Okay? So, this is will be permissible. But here, I have to make a comment. Al-ulama rahimahullah said, you are allowed to have hajj. You're allowed to go for hajj for the ajr and to yashhadu manafi' alahum. So they can make trade. But listen carefully. Al-ulama said, you're not allowed to join two intentions in something the sharia did not allow it to have two intentions in it. If the sharia make it a pure religious issue, you cannot have both intentions behind it. For example, I cannot say I'm going to pray salah and I have something, another intention behind the salah. Let's say, you know what? I pray five times a day because I want to pray, but also because I want to, any worldly matters, like I want to, for example, exercise five times a day. So this is my exercise, the ruku' and the sujood. Al-ulama said same thing with fasting. That's why I have a problem with, because sumu tasahhu is a weak hadith. If it's authentic, we will agree. But to fast and your intention is to diet. You just do the fasting for Allah. You can get a worldly reward from it, like being healthy and stuff. But that's not my intention behind fasting. Okay, my intention behind hajj is to make money and to make ibadah. That's fine. You see? For example, talabul ilm. I cannot seek knowledge. I cannot memorize the Quran. And my intention is worldly reward. That's haram. That's not allowed. I cannot lead salah because my intention is to get paid. I get paid because of the time I dedicate, not because of the salah. So if I salah, if I pray a little bit more khushu', I get raise. And you know, if I pray madrash, I get, no, that's not, you don't pay me for the salah. I don't pay you for the Quran. I pay you for the time that you dedicated for me. But otherwise, you cannot have that intention. تُشَرَّكِ النِّيَّ فِي مَا يَقْبَلِ التَّشْرِيكِ. And we ended up the last point. في هذا الحديث دليل على إثبات الأخذ بالأسباب وأنها مؤثرة في مسبباتها. This is an issue in al-Qadr. That in al-Qadr we believe as Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, taking the necessarily means, okay, and precautions, it will lead to results. Like, because there is, we believe that when you take the means, it will lead you to the end. It will lead you to results. By the way, many people from around Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah, from these sects, they don't believe in that at all. At all. You go to the Asha'ira, you go to the Maturidiyya, you go to the Jabriya, to the Qadri, you go to the, for those who understand what these words means, or these groups mean, they have so much debates over this. That they, so many of them said that it's kind of interesting. They said that the means has no real impact. So the rain did not cause the plant to grow. No, they said, no, it doesn't. So why the plant? Allah did it, but not the rain. Ahl Sunnah said, no, it's the rain caused it, and the one who made it cause it is Allah. The one who made the system is Allah. Some of them, even they consider, some of them reach to the level that said it's kufr even to say that. That's just nonsense, because it's a common sense. That's why they said, okay, when you cut the apple with the knife, they tell you the knife did not cut the apple. Excuse me? Exactly. They said the apple was cut when the knife at the edge of the apple. Why? Because they only want, Allah is the only doer. But that's make no sense. And if we do that, the means and taking the same would have no value. But Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah said, no, means have real impact. That's why it has value. That's why you should care about taking the means. So if you want to be rich, you have to take the steps that make you rich. If you want to be healthy, you want to live longer, you want to do this and that, you have to take this means in order for you to achieve the results that you want. And that's a very logical method of understanding the qadr. It only motivates you to do good and to improve yourself, because you see that results has is basically the results comes as a reason for taking these means that lead to that, to these results. So that's why one of the means that you always keep in mind is not necessarily to be something tangible, is not something physical. Like here, increasing your lifespan is a result of keeping ties with your kinship, increasing your rizq. One of it is to keep tie with your kinship. Okay, it's not only to make basically some health change. That's one of it. But also there is, the means are many different reasons. Dua is one of the means. It's not a tangible physical thing. I hope that any clear. Inshallah, other time when we talk about the qadr more, we explain this more. But these are some of the benefits that we learn from this hadith. As you see, it's loaded with a lot of things. Next week, inshallah, we'll talk about the cutting ties and what it means to maintain ties. What that exactly means. So what do I have to do to make sure that I'm not cutting ties? And who exactly are the one that I'm responsible to keep ties with? Is all my distant cousins and how those basically established. But I want today to establish the importance of the concept for us to go back home and start thinking about, wow, am I connected to my kinship or not? Am I fulfilling this obligation or not? I'm taking this issue serious or not? And I hope this is something will lead, inshallah, to action. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.